We're in the book of Colossians, so if you want to turn there, please. If you're here for the first time or your first Sunday back, it's fantastic to have you. Welcome. And I have an amazing subject today. The last time the subject was addressed was by Daleen, which I thought, it's not great for a woman to speak on circumcision. I don't feel like they have the authority to speak on that particular subject. So when I walked in here today, somebody says, have you got the stuff that goes with it, like biltong? I said, no, but you have. But so what I'm going to do afterwards, I'm going to be doing free circumcisions. I've never done it before. So I'd just like to invite anybody. It'll cost nothing. It won't cost a lot. It just, close your eyes and... So we're going to be speaking on circumcision. And somebody said to me 2 weeks ago, you were very cross about short pants and hats. And I got a phone call from the Middle East or somebody that said, is Rory okay? Does he need a holiday? Is he all right? No, I'm 100% okay. I've actually never finished a year so happy in my whole life. But I hate religion. Amen. Say hate. Amen. I hate religion. And I'm not going to allow the finished work of Christ to keep people in bondage. So I'm not cross with anybody, certainly not you. And I love you so much that I have to preach the truth. And even if it defends you and you say, well, he sometimes he uses it. You know what? I'm just a flawed man and I'm battled with my weight and I went on antidepressant. But you know what? I'm trying to preach Christ. That we're all free, that you realize that it's not some dominie standing in the front who's smacking you on the hand every day. I want to teach you Jesus so that it doesn't matter where you got born or how you got birthed or how you've lived your life. If you understand Christ, you will understand that you're free. So my passion and my drive and my agony is when it's Christ plus something or Christ minus something. I am in Christ. I read a story this week of somebody who was in Pretoria, and she happens to be black, and she's had a tough week because it's not easy to be black in Pretoria, but she's in Christ. She is in Christ. And so we are in Christ and we are in Pretoria. We are in Christ and we are in COVID. We are in Christ and we are in crisis. We are in Christ and we are black. We are Christ and we are women. We are Christ and we are unemployed, but our number one address is Christ. And friends, because of that, we can actually finish 2020 not based on the effects of COVID or the effects of the economy, but based on the finished work of Christ. And so even our language has got to be in Christ. And it says in the book of Matthew, he has fulfilled everything. And so actually we can come to a year, a completely unfulfilled year, and be completely fulfilled, not because of what we've done or haven't done in the workplace, not because of what we've done or haven't done in the church, but because of Christ. Amen? And so we're going to read on today. And so please, friends, I'm not cross. Or maybe a little. Verse chapter 2. I want you to know how much I am struggling for you. That word in Greek is agon, where we get our word agony from. I want to know that I am in agony for you until you understand Jesus. I am in great pains. In the book of Galatians, Paul says this, I am in the pains of childbirth. Like Daleen battles to speak on circumcision. I don't really know how Paul spoke on childbirth. It's called a labor ward because you labor. And it doesn't matter if you're Greek or Portuguese or Indian or Jewish or Christian, when you go into a labor ward, the ground is equal. And if men, you think you are stronger than women, go and spend the morning in a labor ward. Oh, my dear Jesus, if I ever come back again, I want to come back as a man. Woo! Hey, the first time you walk in there, you just hear,
You think, you sort of like, And the gynecologist said to me, said, young man, stick your head out the window, you're going to faint. I was pushing so hard. Ooh.
So what are you talking about, Rory? He says, I'm in agony. I'm in absolute agony. So I'm not cross. I'm actually in agony and I'm in childbirth. I am in labor. But I'm not laboring so that because I'm laboring so that you can have new birth. I'm laboring so that you can understand grace. I'm working hard. I'm repeating the subject so you can actually be free. Amen? I want you to know how much I'm agonizing for you, how much I'm laboring for you, and for those at Laodicea. Say Laodicea. Now, if you read the Bible, you just close. If you understand the Bible, you would close your eyes and say, Laodicea. What is that? Laodicea. Where does that come? That comes in Revelation, chapter 3. There's a church in Laodicea. It might be called the church in Pretoria East. It says this. It says, I'm a bit worried about you. You're neither hot nor cold. You're a little bit lukewarm. I feel like spitting you out. If you understood Christ, you wouldn't lead a lukewarm life. You wouldn't be sort of half in, half out, come to church, don't go to church, pray, don't pray, just sort of like, you're sort of in and out, you're a little bit lukewarm. He said, I'd rather you were like cold and real and just go and get drunk every night, or you actually understood Christ and lived the life of meaning. He says this, you say you are rich. The church in Laodicea, it says, you say you are rich and you have no need of me. But you are poor, wretched, pitiful, blind, and naked. Laodicea, which was right next to Colossians, had gold mines, they had a rag trade, and they had medicine that they had made for their eyes, a special salve that you put in your eyes. And so they were known for three things, gold, clothes, and medicine. And he says, you say that I'm rich, I have no need of you. You are wretched, poor, pitiful, blind, and naked. He says, rather come to me and get gold that's refined in the fire. You might be rich, but you're not wealthy. You might be beautifully dressed, but you don't understand the finished work of Christ. The only robe that really matters is the white robe that goes over you. So you don't have to dress up every time to make people like you. You just have to have the robe of Christ, and it doesn't matter what people think of you. You don't have to pretend. You don't have to dress up. You don't have to have the latest clothes. You don't have to go into credit and debt. You don't have to buy Christmas presents to get your kids and brands because you understand the finished work of Christ is enough. I am in agony for this thing, friends, because we are so unbelievably pretentious by the houses and the cars that we drive, and we live on credit instead of finding that Christ is enough for me. I'm in agony for this. I am in childbirth for this. And he says, actually, you know what? You can stick whatever medicine in your eyes, but the true medicine is the one that will heal your soul and heal your spirit. Just the introduction. And for all those who have not met me personally, my purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. The mystery of God is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Say all the treasures. Sue's just got it and tell us. He said, this is like a treasure hunt. Inside of you is hidden all the treasures. Not the rules and regulations. Not the to-dos and to-don'ts. Not a list of obedience. Inside of this book are hidden all the treasures. So all we're doing this series is we're going treasure hunting. We're trying to find Christ so we can be free. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I'm present with you in spirit, and to delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus, Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him. Say rooted and built up. Just put the picture up if you don't mind. That's the picture, rooted and built up. So one side I'm rooted, the other side I've got a foundation. I was talking to Ferdy, the architect, whose wife happens to be our landscape artist or architect. And she's done the whole courtyard according to seasons. I didn't know that until this week. So he's put the foundations in, and we will stand on something that will never, ever move. Nothing can shift that building. But next door to the foundations is a whole garden that's been planted. She said, Rory, I've done it according to the seasons, summer, winter, autumn, and spring. I said, why did you do that, Steph? She says that if somebody walks into this church in winter and they see that all the leaves have fallen off the trees, they will be able to realize that actually there are tough times in life. But if they worship God and they stick around and they press into Jesus, the blossoms will come forth, and then the leaves will come forth, and then the fruit will come forth. Isn't that beautiful? Rooted and established in Christ. Strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive. Say captive. So Jesus sets us free. People want to take us captive. The heart of human beings is to control people. Racism will exist in this nation until Jesus comes back, because racism is in the heart of human beings, which wants to keep people captive. Gender-based violence will remain until the day Jesus comes back, because men want to control women. We have something inside of our evil heart that wants to be in control. We want to dominate people, we want to manipulate people, we want to intimidate people, and only Christ can set us free. The only place where we will find freedom for every human being is in the church. You say to me, Rory, are you prophesying? I'm telling you, friends, this country's been free for 24 years, and racism is bounding as much as it ever did. It was never just a system. It starts in the heart of evil men, and we need our hearts redeemed. I'm a member of a staff. I happen to be the leader of the staff. There's something inside of me that wants to control the staff, put my agenda on the staff, lead the staff, give my perspective to the staff. We want to control people. All of us. Some of you are sitting in marriages where control is in order. If you understand Christ, you will understand freedom. Through hollow and deceptive philosophies, which depends on human traditions and the basic principles of this world. Say human traditions. So let me ask you this, friends. I am not cross, but I am in agony, and I am in childbirth. Let me ask you this. Why do you worship like you do? And you can only tell me this, because when I grew up in the church, this is how we worshiped. When I grew up in Pretoria, this is how we worshiped. And you say, Rory's cross. No, I just want you to be free. I just want you to be free. You say, but I like worshiping like this. Really? Do you think Jesus gave you arms and a voice and movement and muscles so you can worship like that? And so this human tradition comes upon us and dictates to us how we live our lives, how we live our Christianity. It's human traditions. Why, when you come into a church, are you quiet? But when you go and stand in Loftus-Versfeld grandstands, when 30 sweaty men are chasing a pigskin ball, you will shout at the top of your thing. You will stand up and say, "Ah, referee!" No, I'm not cross. I'm just in agony. For in Christ, say in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ. Say fullness. Say fullness. You have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head. Say head. Over every power and authority. He is the head of government. He is the head of South Africa. He is the head of the economy. He is the head of every spirit. He is the head of intimidation. He is the head of bitterness. He is the head of it. He is the head of religion. He is the head of our upbringing. He is the head of the day we were born. In him, you were also circumcised. In the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with a circumcision by Christ. Say circumcision. So if you keep your finger there and go to Galatians, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, formerly, When you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Say weak and miserable. So my sermon title today is Freak, Weak, and Bleak. Verse 14. Even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God, as if I were Jesus Christ himself. What has happened to all your joy? You were like a party animal. You were ripping it up on the strip during your varsity days. You were the life and soul of every party. You were dancing on every table. And then you had an encounter with Christ, and you've come into the church for 5 years, and now you're just miserable. What happened to you? Where's all your joy gone? Verse 19, my dear children, for who am I gained in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you? Now they argue about circumcision. This is what it says in verse 7 of chapter 5. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little bit of yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. No, the one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Brothers, if I'm still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. Oh, Rory, you can be crude, really, sometimes in the church, okay? But I'm in agony until you understand Christ. I'm going to keep preaching until Christ is formed inside of you. And if you want to obey the little bit of the law and put your foreskin there so I can, and that's going to make God happy, you might as well put your whole thing there and we chop the whole thing off. Because if you obey the little bit of the law, you might as well obey the whole law. And I really am not cross. I'm just telling you, let's not bring the Old Testament to the finished work of Christ. Let's just preach freedom from all human traditions. From all human traditions. From the way that you grew up in the church. We need to preach freedom from all human traditions. And the Bible says the basic principles of this world, the proper translation is the elements of the earth or the elements of the spirit. You are not subject to the elements of the spirit. So what happens in the church, friends, are three things. We have Gnosticism, which means some people think they're cleverer than others. And so that actually means they're subject to the stars, the elements of the spirits. So they say whatever star you were born under actually dictated your life. And so some of you read the stars on Monday morning, you go there and you're Aries and you're Pisces, and people say to me, what are you? So I say, I'm Aries. They said, when are you born? I said, I was born in July. They said, no, you Cancer. I said, yeah, but I think I want to be like Pisces. I want to be like a fish. And they say, no, but you know, you understand the stars. And when something happens, you say, thank your lucky stars. Friends, we're not under the stars. Amen. We are under the one who made the stars. Amen. And so what happened is these clever oaks came and they said, they've got the code to redesign your life around your star. So if you got born under an unlucky star, then you go to 3CR because that preacher's got a special power that can actually get you into. Friends, I've got no power. I've only got Christ and Christ crucified. And when we preach Christ properly, we set people free from superstitions and from traditions. Well, if I do this, then I'll do that. If I do this, and if I'm good, no, you are free. You're not under a star. Your future is not determined by the day you were born. Your future is determined by the day that Jesus was born. Amen? And so we have these guys. It goes on to say this, just for time's sake. Oh no, let's keep going. I hope you're with me. You got to go and read this. The circumcision done by the hands of men, but the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. This is a very visual picture. But circumcision, friends, was given to Abraham as a sign of the covenant, it was fulfilled in Christ. Circumcision is a cutting away of the flesh. And the Bible says, when you're baptized, we have an old man over us. We have a foreskin over us. When you go down into the water, the old man dies, and the new man comes up. The circumcision takes place like that. Say, I am a new man. And what the church tries to do is put the foreskin back over your life. You're free. Utterly free. Whether you're circumcised or not. And these guys are saying, hey guys, we need a little bit of church. We need a little bit of the law. We need a little bit of Abraham. We need a little bit of special revelation. We need some kind of mediators who can get between us and God. You don't need me. You've got Jesus. When we were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away. Say, took it away. He took it away, nailing it to the cross and having disarmed the powers and authorities. Say, disarmed. The powers and authorities. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Friends, what a general would do if he won a victory, if a general won a victory, he would take all his prisoners, he would put chains around their head, around their necks, chains around their arms, the chains go to their feet, and they would walk like this in shackles, and he would march through the town. And he would be in the front of his army. What Jesus is saying here is that I have won a victory over conservatism. I've won a victory over sin. I've won a victory over lies. I've won a victory over deceit. And I am marching, and all these oaks are marching behind me. They are completely in bondage to my power. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. You must be careful, you guys who are keto dieting. And you guys who are on low-fat diets. You mustn't sit at a table and say, I'll eat that and I won't eat that. That's not biblical. That's human tradition. That is human tradition. You don't decide what you eat when you sit at a table. Because the Bible says all foods are equal. And we become picky. You go out for dinner. Obviously, if you're allergic to something, you can't eat it. You go out for dinner, you sit there. The picture is we're going to share a meal, and those guys have prepared a meal to the best of their ability. You eat it. I don't eat this, and I don't eat that. We try and make ourselves better. Remember, I'm not cross. I'm just in agony. They are a shadow. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ, not in keto. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen. His unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. He has lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ, say Christ, to the basic principle of this world. I don't live under the stars. I live under Christ who designed the stars. Why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use because they are based on human commands and teaching. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Have you ever, if you've got children, have you ever said to a child, don't touch that? They look at you. They look at you again. Don't touch it. I said, don't touch it. Three things, we finished. Number one, there is absolutely no superiority in the church. See, people want to say that they understand the stars and they've seen angels and they've got special revelation because they actually want people to worship them, not Jesus. There's no special revelation. There's no special revelation, friends. And it outworks itself in many ways. There's a man who's in this church who used to be in ministry for 20 years. Every single year, he fasted for 40 days. Every year, twice for 40 days on water. You know what I say? Religious rubbish rhetoric. Do you know how people, how you know that people are fasting? You know, it's exactly the same as an office boy. They tell you. You know what the Bible says when I fast? Now, I must fast, but there is no way that you fast for 40 days. Don't tell me. Friends, I spoke to a pastor yesterday. He's opening line to me on the telephone. I've just finished the 21-day fast. The Bible says this. If you fast, you must put oil on your face so that when people see you, they say, you look good. Not like, hey, I'm in a 21-day fast. The moment you say you're in a 21-day fast, I feel inferior because I think I can't fast 21 days. I start fasting at 7 in the morning. By 10 o'clock, my tummy just feels like hamburger, 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 hamburger. I need a hamburger. By 10 o'clock, I'm thinking because I'm on a liquid fast, I'm going to put Woolies chicken through a liquidizer. I'll drink it. Religious rubbish rhetoric. And then he says, I want to tell you too, we're not looking at inferior Christians who have to do it all by human effort. They just punish their bodies, sacrifice, pay a deep price. What about the rules and regulations? How you live? I know what you've done this week, some of you. You come to church and you get smacked on your hand. Don't do that again. Stop it. Stop it. And you go away for the week, and Monday is cool, Tuesday is cool, Wednesday. You come back and get smacked on your head. Friends, I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. We don't have time to look there. But in Revelation chapter 3, he writes to the church in Laodicea. And he says, you say I am rich, I have no need of you. But you are wretched, poor, pitiful, blind, and naked. And then Revelation 4, he says, but him who sits on the throne, say on the throne. And it says before the throne and around the throne. It says he is dressed like jasper and carnelian. And around him is a rainbow. Say rainbow. The rainbow got robbed by the gay community, friends. It includes the gay community. But it doesn't belong to them. It belongs to Jesus. It belongs around the throne. And the only way that you and I will deal with Black Lives Matter is when we come to the throne and we make Jesus not just supreme but sufficient in everything, and we will see the colors of the rainbow. That will include love for black people, white people, young people, old people, gay people. And it says around the throne there are four creatures, a lion, an ox, an eagle, and a man, or a man and an eagle. The noblest, the strongest, the wisest, and the swiftest. And it's the only place in the Bible where everything is in order and life and joy and freedom and healing flow from that place. When you and I put Jesus on his throne, plus nothing, minus nothing, not trying to control people, not trying to manipulate people, not trying to show people that I'm more spiritual than you. What does a pastor do when he stands up and says, hey, this week I prayed 10 hours? Immediately, you feel condemned. I've seen it with some people here who, some husbands work and wives are free, some wives work and husbands are free. And the husband labors all day, or the wife labors all day, and they're in an operating theater or in their courtroom, and they come home and their spouse has been in Bible study or say, oh, I've been in Bible study all day. Immediately they feel inferior. I am in Christ. in court, in theater, in Bible study, in my car, on the toilet, in Jerusalem, in Pretoria, in the Pick and Pay, I'm in Christ. And you say, Rory, why you keep laboring this? Because Paul said, I'm going to labor this until you understand it. I'm in agony. I'm in absolute agony until you understand this. So that you understand to be in Christ is superior to any other address you will hold. So if you get treated badly tomorrow in the Pick and Pay, you are in Christ. You might be in justice, but you are in Christ. And when we do that, friends, we'll become the solution to this nation. We'll become the solution to this nation. Say this, I am in Christ. No one is superior to me. No one is inferior to me. I'm in Christ. No rules. Don't touch, don't taste, don't think, don't this, don't, can't do this, can do this, might do that, mustn't do that. I'm going to get smacked on the... No, I am in Christ. I am in Christ. And I'm also in agony. But we're going to keep fighting until you're free. You say, Rory, do we have to worship like you? No, you don't. But your worship cannot be dictated by your upbringing. It's got to be dictated by Jesus. God bless you.